This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, golf continues to turn into college sports, and I'll explain why in just a few moments. Plus, the Charlotte Hornets continue to embarrass themselves. We'll get to that in a little bit. Later on this afternoon, we'll touch on the Deshaun Watson situation with his hearing coming up tomorrow at the NFL. And which college football teams are at a crossroads? I think Clemson may be the most interesting team in college football this year. I've said that already. But coming up later on, we'll further examine why and look at some teams that are at a fork in the road this year when it comes to college football. Who else? Maybe other than Clemson. I just saw this. Johnny Depp is going to come back as Captain Jack for the Pirates movies. And a $301 million deal.
Wow. Good for Johnny. Getting back out there. Can't wait to see you, Captain Jack. Can't wait.
That's according to the New York Post.
Oh, well, grain of salt. Grain of salt, folks. Grain of salt.
Yeah, how about that? He's doing all right. Signed a $300 million deal.
I didn't know if you saw a video of, you know, this is no disrespect. I shop at TJ Maxx and Marshall's all the time. I don't know if you saw a video. People were catching Amber Heard shopping in a TJ Maxx.
People are
a little worried about Miss Heard right now with the amount of money she had to pay to Johnny Depp. So things aren't looking on the up and up for Miss Heard.
I'm glad cameras weren't following me around this weekend when I was looking for something to get for the upcoming wedding.
Oh, Marshall's is the place to go. I'm telling you, if you need a quick shirt for something, boom, go to Marshall's.
I do love all those stores.
Yeah.
Marshall's, TJ Maxx, absolutely. I went to 5 different stores over the weekend. Couldn't really find anything. Find anything great.
No.
I was a little disappointed.
You go with a high water look? Were you looking for a high water
look? No, not really. I don't think I'm gonna go that way. Jeez. I am curious though. I ended up grabbing a seersucker jacket though.
Ooh.
I've always liked seersucker.
Nice.
So now I got a little seersucker in the closet. Maybe we'll go with that with a seersucker jacket for the wedding upcoming.
Get the top hat as well. You just can't match it at all.
Believe you me, I was looking at some of the hats at one of those places I was in. They had some nice quasi-fedoras. I'm not against a fedora. I think very few people can pull off a fedora, but I'll throw a fedora on.
It's acquired taste. Yeah. It's an acquired taste.
I like a good fedora. But anyways, I went to 5 stores. I won't bore you with the details. Problem is, they all have like the same stuff.
Yeah.
I saw no salmon. I saw no bright colors. I saw one seersucker, and I got it. Otherwise, there's 3 shades of blue, like really light blue, really dark blue, or in between. Then there's, of course, black, and then you have gray. I went to 5 different stores. What do you got for blazers? That's what they show me. This is it? We got like 3 colors? We need some more creativity.
I would say you should go online, find the blazer you want, and then take it, to have it fit.
Well, see, that's the problem. I'm very last minute and everything.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's coming up, actually.
Yeah, I only have a few days. I accept some responsibility in all of this. That was one of the conversations I had in one of the stores. They said, well, when do you need it by? And I said, like a week from now. And they said, oh. They said, did they just tell you about it? And I said, no, I knew about this wedding. I'm last minute.
Were you a plus one that got added?
Yeah, right. They just trying to fill numbers? You a seat filler? I said, nah, I knew about it. I just waited. I figured I could walk into the store and grab something. Now, I am an awkward size, so, I'd probably need anything tailored, but I thought, I'll get away with it. But, yeah, I probably waited too long. I'm still shy. Don't worry. I'm still in the market. I'm still looking. I'll find something. I'll put it all together.
I'll make that some homework for me throughout this week as well. Make sure we can find you. Because you need to be looking good, Luke. Need to be looking good at the wedding. Yeah, now, if you go with a fedora, that'd be phenomenal just to add everything together. But
it is
an acquired taste.
It is. Go with the fedora, please.
You want to look fedora.
Blow the house down. Yeah, that's right. Well done. Hey, I was out over the weekend. I was at a place. And it's a good place. It's probably going to sound like me whining or complaining. That's not the case. It's just more about principle. I went out to a place the other night. Not around here. And I sit down, and they have a few beers on tap. I like to go with a reliable – whenever I go out to eat, I always want to get something. I'm not very adventurous when I go out to eat because that ruins the whole experience.
Sure.
I don't want to go to a restaurant and like, oh, I've never had this before. Let me try it. Then it's a lousy meal. It's like, oh, man, I'm still hungry. Like, I didn't have a good experience going out. I spent money on this. So when I go out to eat, I want to get something that I already know I like. I won't get too adventurous. I'll try something if it's not too crazy. But typically, I like to, you know, I go all reliable. So I'm looking at the beers on tap. I really only knew one. So I got a Modelo.
Okay. Classic.
I like Modelo. No problem. So I'm drinking my Modelo. I get food as well. The guy comes over, and he says, man, you should really try one of the local beers. And I said, okay, well, I don't really know any of them. And he's giving me the rundown. Yeah, this is similar to this, yada, 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 yada. He gives me, there's like five of them. Okay, yeah. I said, maybe I'll try them at some point. And then he cracks open. They're not far from closing. You know, I always go into places before they close. So they're not far from closing. So they're winding down. The place isn't very busy. He goes into like the fridge, and he gives me a can of beer. And he cracks it up. He says, try this. He said, if you don't like it, we'll throw it out. I said, okay. I still have my Modelo. Now, I'm thinking in my head, I'm a little hesitant because, A, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Right.
B, once I take a sip, are they going to put this on my tab? Now, look, again, it's like a $6 beer, so I'm not arguing about the money. It's the principle, though. Is this guy trying to foist another drink onto my tab with this ploy of, hey, try this one? He didn't specify. He didn't say, like, hey, it's on the house. He said, try it. If you don't like it, just throw it out. And I figured, okay, like, I guess I'm in the clear. So I tried the beer, and it wasn't bad, and I drank most of it before I left. And then sure enough, when the tab came, the beer was on there.
Wow. Yeah, that's an old bartender trick right there. Try this one. See if you like it. And if you say, oh, yeah, I think I'll do one of those. Yeah. Oh, you can just keep that one. Boom, yeah. Add it to the tab. It's like if you're at a resort with a floater, you know, for one of your, you know, strawberry daiquiri. You're a big daiquiri
guy. Oh, I love a daiquiri.
I always would say, hey, you want a floater on that? And I never specify how much it is. And they'll be like, yeah, throw a floater on there. $5 extra. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. Here you go. So, yeah, that's an old bartender trick.
Now, I didn't say anything, and I paid it, and I wasn't going to argue because I really didn't care, although here I am talking about it on the radio instead. But it really wasn't. It was $6. So, like, whatever. You know, I spend that on donuts. It doesn't matter. But it was just the principle. Like, I didn't order that. What are you putting on my tab for? I thought you were giving that to me for free.
You should have said, yeah, it's on the house. Don't worry about it. Right, if you don't try it, throw it out. Yeah.
And they're all nice over there, and I'm not going to say the place because I do like the place. I'll go back. I'm not, like, upset about it. It's just the principle of it all. Unless I order it, they'll be putting out my tab if you're going to give it to me. So a little sneaky move. Hey, try this beer. Oh, by the way, you now owe us $6. All right, that's all a classic move. That's like what Kramer would always do in Seinfeld when Jerry would say, can you return my my Walkman? And then Kramer would turn and say, by the way, it was broken when I got it. Right? And no, it wasn't. That's the old classic. You just throw it back on them. All right, that'll be $6. Anyways, it was a good time, though, and good spot. I won't give you the name.
Now you did enjoy the beer that he gave you,
right?
It
wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad?
I don't know if I would drink it again. It was it was an IPA. I'm not a big IPA guy.
Nice. Oh, yeah, we were talking about that on Friday. I'm not a big beer snob. I do enjoy an IPA, though. It's a little heavier. It's nicer.
Not a big IPA guy. That's the problem with a lot of – I haven't tried a lot of the local beers because a lot of them are like IPAs, and I don't know. They're all – the people tell me about these local beers, and you know, they could be a little snobby. And I'm like, okay.
I get nervous. Like when you're telling me about all these things, I'm like, just pick. I don't know.
I know. I got a buddy. I went over to his place. He was busting out like, this is a really aged bottle. I've had this for 10 years. Like, I don't know. Just does it taste good? All right, just give it to me. Like, I don't care. Yeah, it's not my deal. I got uncles and relatives that are really into wine. They make their own wine. And, you know, you go out to eat and they pour it and they swish it around and they have to smell it. Like, I don't, just give it. Does it taste good? I'll sip it. I don't know. I don't know what these people are doing at the table. They're swishing around the wine. They're sniffing it. Like, that tells you. They take a little sip. Would you ever be bold enough to try the wine and then send it back when they're waiting there at the table?
No, I I've sent a couple steaks back that weren't up to my that weren't up to my standards. Nice, you can do that at nice steak places though. If you're going to an average whatever, no, I would never send the wine back because I don't know the difference. It's classic Parks and Rec wine. I'll take your cheapest bottle of wine because I don't know the difference. Exactly,
it's true.
But I have had to, you know, I was at a nice restaurant in New York with my brother, and the sommelier came over and was giving us all the wines and everything. And I didn't realize, you got to, twirl it, back teeth, front teeth, and then take a deep breath in. I mean, I was like, this seems like a little much.
Oh, absolutely.
What are we doing?
And then they wait there just to make sure, is it okay? Is this satisfactory? Who's the person that's sitting at the table saying, you know what, I don't like it. I know you opened the bottle. Give me something else.
If the salad's not on the side, I'll send it back.
That's right. So anyways, that was my weekend. Hey, speaking of over the weekend, I've continued to say that golf, I think golf's continuing to be a lot, they're becoming a lot like college sports. And I think another example from over the weekend. But in the sense that college football, specifically, where we're only focusing on the bowl, or pardon me, not the bowl games, the playoff games, and the big games in the regular season. The playoff, and I'm a fan of the 4-team playoff, it's better than the old BCS system, but what it has done is not only render the bowl games largely irrelevant, it's also rendered most of the regular season largely irrelevant as well. And I think what we're seeing here in this division in the golf world, I've said the same thing. The Travelers was going on this past weekend. Came down to a pretty exciting finish yesterday. But I don't think these typical events will drum up, if maybe they already are not, but I don't think they'll drum up any sort of interest. We'll only care about the majors. Now that the two sides are divided, the tours are watered down a bit. You only care about those big events when they all come back together to play. The four majors, just like the playoff games. All right, another way in which golf continues to become more like college sports is that I saw this story from over the weekend where Oklahoma State standout. His last name is Chikara, I would assume is how you pronounce it. He's turning pro, but he's doing so by joining the LIV Golf Tour. And this reminds me of the concern in college sports when, like, the G League started to accept kids out of high school for their Ignite team, or when more guys started to go overseas for that 1 year instead of going to a college. Right? Because for the LIV Golf Tour to take guys already on the tour, that's one thing. But if you're going to steal the top up-and-coming talent as well, that's another thing as well. Because for the PGA Tour, not only are you losing some talent, but now you'll be losing some of the guys that could replace said talent that's already leaving the tour. And this is the number two amateur in the world. And Kyle Porter, who covers golf for CBS, said this feels like a much bigger deal than losing Brandon Grace or Kevin Na. Right, some of the other guys who are just kind of middle of the road. This guy's the number two amateur in the world, coming out of college ready to go pro. He chose the LIV Golf Tour instead of the PGA Tour. And so instead of getting that next group of guys that you can develop for to be the next round of stars, right? Some of those guys may go to the LIV Golf Tour. That could hurt the PGA Tour. But it does remind me of our concerns when we were talking college basketball and saying, uh-oh, this isn't good for college basketball. Guys can now go pro to the G League, or, you know, if you're one of the ball kids, you go over and play wherever they were playing in. You go over to Turkey, any other country. You go to Europe, you play in these countries for a year, and then go to the NBA. And it wasn't that long ago that we had a real concern, like, what does this mean for college basketball? All these guys are just going to choose to go pro and make money in college basketball. And even though it wasn't the NCAA's decision, it was forced onto them, I think name, image, and likeness has really helped out in that area, where now guys can just go play college basketball and make money, even if it's for just a 1 year. And also, you have guys that stick around in college basketball. We saw this with the draft last week. Some players that maybe typically would try to hope and get drafted just to start getting paid, and most of them would not. Well, now they can hang around in college basketball because, well, they're getting paid there anyways. And they can be patient when they jump to the NBA draft. So the answer in all this, like the answer to most of these things when it comes to this situation in golf, probably money. Right? And right now, LIV Golf Tour is offering more money. But there's a great concern in college sports that, you know, the G League and these international leagues would be the death of college basketball. They're not going to get any of the talented guys out of high school. They're all just going to go pro, and some are. We had two guys drafted in the NBA draft last week out of that G League. But we also had, you know, four guys from Duke in the first round and a couple of players from Kentucky, and obviously Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga, and so on and so forth. But this is just another way in which I see what's happening in the golf world, similar to what we've been dealing with in college sports in recent years. By the way, on the topic of Chet Holmgren, if you listen to the show, you know I'm not a big Chet guy. Two things came out over the weekend. One, they asked him, who's the best player in the league? And he said, me, in 3 months, which that's always a tough question. I don't like the answer, but in his defense, there's no good answer. You know, I grew up in the Northeast, and the New York media would have a field day with Eli Manning because they would ask him something similar. Like, Eli, do you think you're the best quarterback in the league? And he'd say, no. Right? Like, Tom Brady's probably better. And then they'd write in the paper, like, wow, Eli doesn't believe in himself. But then if his answer was, yeah, I do think I'm the best quarterback, then they'd write in the paper, like, wow, Eli is so full of himself. He thinks he's the best quarterback in the league. There's no right answer to that question. So I'll let that one slide a little bit. But I don't know. I think a guy coming into the league should show a little more, you should be very confident. But to answer that question, maybe be a little humble as opposed to saying, hey, I'm the best player in the league already without playing a minute yet. But the other story, too, is that reportedly, I don't know if this came directly from Chet, from his camp, or from a source, he tanked the workout with the Orlando Magic because he did not want to go number one. This is a red flag to me as well. If you really want to sit up there and say, hey, I'm already the best guy in the NBA, then you shouldn't be afraid to go anywhere. Is Oklahoma City really a better opportunity than Orlando? I mean, they're picking number they're the second worst team behind the Magic. They're picking number two behind Orlando. I don't know if I like that, right? I want the ultimate competitor. You think Michael Jordan? I know we always compare Jordan. That's become a cliche, comparing everything to Jordan. But, like, you think Jordan would have tanked a workout? He doesn't care. I imagine even LeBron, same idea like Kobe. Like, whatever, put me wherever. I just want to be in the league. I'll show you what I can do. I saw that story over the weekend. I thought, I don't really like that. And maybe I'm nitpicking, but I don't like the idea of a guy blowing off a workout because he doesn't want to be the number one pick. Why not? A lot of guys see that as an honor, being the number one pick. And have that confidence that if you're going to sit up there and tell me you're the best player in the NBA already, all right, then why are you afraid to go to Orlando? Don't tank the workout. I don't like that idea. But we'll see how things play out over the next couple of years. Hey, when we come back, speaking of the NBA, the Hornets continue to embarrass themselves, and they did again over the weekend, and we'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, the Charlotte Hornets continue to embarrass themselves. We'll get to that on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Hey, the 2022 Summer Golf Tour continues to roll on this week. It's already sold out today from what I'm seeing here online. We only have a few weeks left, so if you missed out today, you still have a couple more opportunities. Stay tuned for next Monday, which is July 4th, right? Next Monday. So make sure you're up and ready 8 a.m. next Monday to get your foursome for 98.9. Next week looks like it's the Plantation course at Edisto. So be ready to go. Monday morning, 8 a.m., foursomes go on sale at charlestonsportsradio.com as our summer golf tour continues. Hopefully you were one of the lucky ones to get a foursome this morning, but they sell out quick. So be ready to go at 8 a.m. Got a foursome for 98.9. CharlestonSportsRadio.com is the place to be Monday, 8 a.m. next week as we only have a few weeks left to go in our summer golf tour. Hey, speaking of CharlestonSportsRadio.com, while you're there, head over to our show page and you can leave a comment for the show there. Bilkey asked, would Spencer Rattler be considered for Player of the Year if South Carolina were to win 9 games? Also, what happened to Super Dave? Yeah, we haven't heard from Super Dave in a while. Hopefully everything's okay with Super Dave. We have missed, especially as we get closer to football season, we're going to need his predictions again, see what he thinks about his Gamecocks. In regards to Spencer Rattler, I mean, to be determined, it depends what he does and what the other quarterbacks do in the conference. If South Carolina were to win 9 games, that'd be a pretty darn good year for them. Could that be good enough for second place in the East? But I imagine... Right? Could he be considered? That was the question. Could he be considered? Yeah, if he plays well enough and the Gamecocks have a good enough year, sure, he could be considered. But I think right now, as of right now, it's Bryce Young's award to lose in the SEC. But I think that's what makes the SEC so interesting this year is the quarterback. The quarterback talent could be really good throughout that conference. And Spencer Rattler could be, and if you're a Gamecock fan, you better hope is, you know, he's one of those guys as well. But could he be considered? Sure, if he plays well enough, and he's going to have to in order for the Gamecocks to win 9 games in this scenario, he could be considered. You look at all conference quarterbacks in the SEC, that's where South Carolina is really lagging. In fact, I don't think South Carolina's ever had one, right? Every other school has. It's been a while for some of the schools, but for South Carolina, they're looking for that top-end quarterback, and it could be Spencer Rattler. I know a lot of people were excited about some of the videos that came out over the weekend of him flinging it 50 yards, I think at North Greenville over the weekend. We'll circle back to college football coming up with the teams that are at a crossroads this year. But over the weekend, the Charlotte Hornets announced a reunion of sorts. You know, they were looking for a new coach after Kenny Atkinson turned them down, And so the Hornets went back to a familiar face and rehired Steve Clifford, the new boss, same as the old boss. He was the head coach and then was replaced by James Borrego, who's now being replaced by Steve Clifford. And I think this is a pretty lousy move by the Hornets. I think it's very uninspiring, especially after James Borrego still had guaranteed money. They just gave him an extension or more money not too long ago. They fire him, and this is the solution. Like, we're going to pay this guy to go away just so we could get Steve Clifford back. And Clifford, you know, wasn't great with Charlotte. They had that one season they made it to the playoffs, made it to Game 7 of the playoffs, you know, 6 years ago. Then he goes to Orlando and wasn't great there, got fired there, and now he's back in Charlotte. According to reports, Kenny Atkinson, he bailed on the Hornets because he did not like the idea of lack of control he would have. Reports make it seem like he wouldn't do much when it came to running the team, that it would be very much operated by the front office. And Kenny Atkinson didn't really like that idea. He wants a little more control. But according to reports, you know, when it comes to drafting the team or putting the team together, he wouldn't have a whole lot of say in the personnel, even his coaching staff. A lot of that would come from the front office. And according to reports, right, that was the case. Kenny Atkinson didn't like that. He said, no, thanks. Now, Steve Clifford is a defensive coach. We know for the Hornets, their issue really has been defense. So maybe that will help. Also, according to reports, he has a really good relationship with Michael Jordan, and that's a big reason why they went with Jordan, or they went with Steve Clifford. I thought it would be D'Antoni, maybe even Terry Stotts. I don't know how interested they even were in those guys this past week. And instead, when Atkinson turned him down, they called up their old friend Steve Clifford to bring him back. I think it's pretty lame. I also think it's a lot like, you may remember the movie The Benchwarmers, which is like an underrated baseball movie, although it's more of a comedy than some sort of sports film. But I believe it was Nick Swartzen's character, like, was afraid of the sun. And so he would live in like, the closet of his brother's house or whatever. They were living together. But I was thinking about him because throughout the movie, like, he will slowly make his way out towards the sun. And, like, he'd go out with a blanket wrapped around him, or he'd step out of the closet and then see the sun and run back in. Like, slowly was making his way out of that closet into the sun and into more of a danger zone, trying to conquer his fears slowly. Or I was also thinking of, like, We're the Millers, another movie, you know, with Jennifer Aniston that came out in the last 10 years. And when they're camping and, you know, the wife is talking about, like, swinging, and then by touching Jennifer Aniston's chest, that was enough for her, and she's like, okay, I'm good. Right, like, slowly just dipping your toes in the water. She didn't want to fully commit to swinging that night with the other couple. That was enough for her. Just simply grabbing Jennifer Aniston by the chest was like, all right, I'm good with this. I can go to bed now. Similar with the Hornets, where they tried to get Kenny Atkinson. He turned them down. They said, all right, like, well, let's just go back to Steve Clifford. We gave it a try. We tried to hire somebody else, but you really didn't give it much of a try. You gave it one try. Kenny Atkinson turned you down. He said, all right, well, guess we have no other option. We got to go back to Steve Clifford, who we had just 4 years ago and fired at the time, and now we got to bring him back to be the head coach. I think it's a pretty lame attempt. Just like the actress in We're the Millers with Jennifer Aniston or Nick Swartzen trying to conquer his fear of the sun and the Benchwarmers. A pretty lame attempt. You got to dive in. All right, go out. Be a little bold. Go get somebody else instead of just bringing back Steve Clifford. Whenever teams do this, it doesn't work out. It's my pet cemetery theory that I bring up all the time. Your pet passes away. You think you want your pet back. You would love to have your pet back, but sometimes things don't go so well when you try to duplicate it a second time. And Stephen King did a book and a movie on it, Pet Cemetery. The animals came back, but now, right, they're evil. You don't want your pet dog back anymore. Now he's torturing you. Pet Cemetery. Same idea with the coaches. You think just by simply bringing back Mack Brown, oh, we're going to relive the glory days of UNC football from 20 years ago. It's not really the case. How often do you try that in your life? You had such a great night. Maybe it was like a date with your spouse or significant other. And so, like, for an anniversary, you want to duplicate your first date or something. It was so perfect that first night. And you do it again. And even if everything goes perfectly, it's like, it's just not the same. There's something about it just being natural and going through it for the first time, that whenever you try to duplicate anything, they try to make a sequel. The sequel is just like the first movie. And you know, this is kind of lame. We don't really need the sequel. It never works out when you try to duplicate. I should say, it rarely works out when you try to duplicate something from before. When you try to copy it exactly. And they're like, wow, that was really fun. We should do that exactly the same way next time. It becomes more like a job instead of just going with the flow. Wait a minute. We didn't do it this way last time. We got to do it this way. I mean, it's not as fun. Try to duplicate a date night or a fun time with your buddies or whatever. You try to make a movie again. It's not the same. And there's plenty of examples of coaches. I always say in sports, it's kind of like what Brooks Koepka was trying to say, but it didn't really apply at the time. We talk about live golf. And Koepka said, like, you ever try to drive through the rear view mirror? Good luck. Right? I think that was Brooks Koepka who said that. You got to be looking forward. And it's similar in the sense of running a team. Like, you can't live in the rear view mirror, looking back and saying, we need a coach. Well, Steve Clifford was our coach 4 years ago. Let's just go get him. You got to keep looking, continue to look forward. The Raiders tried to bring back Art Schell. That was a disaster. The Raiders then tried to bring back John Gruden. Ended up being a bit of a disaster. Tony La Russa right now for the White Sox. How's that going? A bit of a disaster. Cito Gaston was another one in baseball. The Blue Jays brought him back. Didn't work out the second time. Mac Brown right now for UNC. Not really working out the second time. In fact, he may even be, if we're being realistic, he probably should be on the hot seat this year. Randy Etzel for my UConn Huskies. What a disaster and an embarrassment that was in the second go-round. Mike Brown for the Cleveland Cavaliers brought him back. Didn't work out. And locally, the Panthers tried this very thing with Marty Herney, their GM, right? Who was the GM before and then after Dave Gettleman. They needed a new GM. They got rid of Gettleman. It's like, all right, let's go back to Herney. And it wasn't all that great the second time either. Similar, I imagine, it'll be similar to Steve Clifford. Things weren't that great the first time. You think it's going to be better the second time? I imagine it won't be. And it's kind of a sign to the fans, like, we really don't care. Because that's not how you, all right, Michael Jordan hiring him just because he's been the coach previously and have a good relationship, like, that's a lazy hiring move. That doesn't send a good message to the fan base. And I imagine it's not going to work out this time just like it didn't the first. I went back and looked. 11 times a coach has been rehired by the same team in the NBA. Only one of them actually won a championship in the second go-round, and that was Lenny Wilkins, who did it way back in 1979 with Seattle. When Seattle brought him back 6 years later, and in his second year with the then Supersonics, they won the finals in 79. So Lenny Wilkins is the one example of rehiring a coach, and it paid off. One out of 11 that even made it to a championship. Lenny Wilkins was the only. Of the 11 coaches that teams have tried this with before, six of the 11 ever even made the playoffs in their second stint, so about half. Only three of the 11 even won a playoff series in the second stint, less than 30%. So history, right, based off of history, that's kind of what you're looking at with Steve Clifford. That when teams have rehired a coach for a second time, they make the playoffs less than 30% of the time. That's what you have to look forward to. Not great. And I don't think it's going to work out with Steve Clifford in Charlotte. And if I was a Hornets fan, I'd be pretty ticked off. Like, this is the best he could do for us? I don't know if Steve Clifford was a great hire the first time. Then you fired him. James Borrego's the coach. At least he got you to play in around the last 2 years. You fire him just to go back to Steve Clifford. I think it's weak. I think it's another example in the long line of decisions made by Jordan and that front office there in Charlotte that you kind of scratch your head. Like, what are we doing here? And that's weak. UNC, same idea. UNC had a terrible year. They thought, all right, well, we need a coach. Well, Mac Brown was pretty good when he was here last time, so let's just try to run it back. Never works out quite as good the second time. You can't live in the rearview mirror. You got to keep looking forward. Have the foresight. See what's coming down the road. Don't go back to 6-year-old Steve Clifford, who you already tried just 4 years ago, and it didn't work out. I doubt it'll be any better this time. We'll get to Trent's takes when we come back. The More Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to do your sleepwalk dance anymore. I just want to see some palm trees. I won't try and shake away this disease. We can live beside the ocean.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. And don't forget, we got a Red Cross blood drive coming up Wednesday at Cruise Subaru from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Wednesday, June 29th, at Cruise Subaru. All donors will receive a $35 gift card for service, parts, and accessories at Cruise Subaru. Visit redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code CRUISE. And make your appointment today. I think walk-ins are welcome as well, but they always prefer appointments. Coming up this Wednesday, 2 days from now, 11 a.m., 4 p.m., Cruise Subaru in North Charleston. Red Cross Blood Drive. Give blood, help somebody out, and get a nice $35 gift card in the process as well. We do it around this time each and every day. We find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, before we get into some other sporting topics, I do have a business proposition for anybody out there, potentially any golf course developers that are listening. I will say, now, I've heard this idea thrown out there before, and it's kind of been made with a thing like Topgolf, where you can go, you can have drinks, it's late at night, you can go hit the ball and everything. But I think there needs to be a 12-hole par 3 golf course that is specifically made for night golf. So as soon as the sun starts setting around 6:30 or 7 o'clock, that's when tee times open up. Or obviously you can schedule it. You go from 7 till about 2 in the morning. You play 12 holes. It's all about drinks and food and the music, things of that nature. You play 12 holes, par 3. You're not driving around the cart too much. I think this is an absolute winner. You put some lights out there. You make the balls, you know, glow in the dark, if you will. I think it'd be a good thing. I used to do it. I had a little glow up, you know, ball, and I used to live on a golf course, so I'd go out there at night. Always the best time at night playing some golf. You can't really see too much. It's fun. So if anybody wants to, you know, hit us up about this, 843-721-9500, and we'll try to get it going. But I love Topgolf, don't get me wrong, but I think if we had something like a 12-hole par 3 at night, it would make golf a lot more enjoyable, and that could grow the game in and of itself, you know?
I am intrigued.
Yeah?
I would be more likely to go out at that golf course than a standard golf course.
Boom.
I once got in trouble for being on a golf course at night when I wasn't supposed to, but that's a different story for another day. I remember growing up, not to shift gears, it's in relation, but we always used to love playing basketball. My father rigged lights in the front yard so we could play hoops,
yeah.
And then the neighbors started to complain that the lights were shining into their house at like midnight. We were out there, and the sound of the dribble. My brothers and I just loved playing pickup back in the day. But yeah, absolutely, for golf, especially in an area like this, it's too hot. You don't want to go golfing during the day. You got to wait till the sun goes down and be able to go at night.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, I see, Luke, that's what I'm saying. I heard a couple people talking about it over the weekend, and I said, you know what, let me mock that up a little bit. So I thought about it. Couldn't be a full 18-hole, you know, par fives, things of that nature. That wouldn't work. But if you're out there with your buddies, 2.5-3 hours, playing a nice little 12-hole golf course, I think it would be an absolute winner, Luke. That's why I want to do it. So, yeah, again, if anybody's out there, you can email me, call me. We can try to get it up. And I just need royalties. I just need some resids on the back end and to play out there whenever I want. That's all I ask.
I am your first investor.
Thank
I got
you.
A fresh $1 bill in my pocket. We're off and rolling.
You always start somewhere, Luke.
That's
you always
right.
start somewhere. You know, I mean, how was Apple created? Boom, in a garage. Thank
that
you very much.
That's right.
We're just airing it out on radio. Now, some sporting topics I like to bring up. I actually wrote this down as soon as I saw it happening. Baseball fights are absolutely hilarious. They're one of my favorite things in the world. It's kind of like an NBA fight. There's no real fighting going on now between the Mariners and the Angels, I believe, right on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Benches cleared, things of that nature. It's not like a hockey fight or even an NFL fight because the NFL guys actually start throwing hands. I will say, a couple Seattle Mariners and Angels, you know, were throwing fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't great, but I always think they're absolutely hilarious because it's just a lot of standing in between each other. Like, no, you back up, things of this nature. The stars never get involved. It's usually the guys just running off the bench. I also love the bullpen. When the bullpen, you know, two
yep.
minutes after the fight is, you know, continued, they're running in acting like they're about to do something. What are we doing here? It's all for show. But it made me think of a question. In the NFL, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dudes I would not throw, majority of people in the NFL I would never throw fisticuffs with. I'm not a fighter whatsoever. But I thought of who would be the two guys in the NFL, either past or present, that you would want to see go at it. I found two names that I thought would be pretty interesting. Arguably the baddest dude in the NFL during his tenure, Adam Pac-Man Jones. I would like to see him fight Jalen Ramsey. I think Jalen Ramsey's got some pretty, you know, quick hands. In the NBA, Luke, I would like to see Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook go at it. Ooh, I think those guys have, you know, some crazy hands. But if there's any two players out there, NBA or NFL, who would you pick?
I would go bigger for the NBA. Okay. I want, like, Dwight Howard against Giannis.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
All right, like, some, there's two mammoths just go wailing on each other. Football, I was thinking old school. I would go, like, Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, jeez.
And then, I don't know. I don't know who he'd go up against. I like your idea. I remember when Courtland Finnegan used to be a real pest as a defensive back, yes, in the NFL. And he ripped off, like, Andre Johnson's jewelry, right? And then they ripped off the helmet. They were going at it on the field. That was pretty good. About a decade ago, I don't know, 8 years ago.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
So that's a good question. I would say Lawrence Taylor. Then I have to come up with somebody else. I don't know who would match up with him.
Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor and Dick Butkus. I don't know.
Imagine, like, if you took a guy from the past, Lawrence Taylor versus, like, Myles Garrett.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, if I'm thinking D-line here right now, even though they're on the same team as of right now, Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett would be 2'6", 260-pound guys. Myles Garrett's got the beef, though, so I think he would take it. But I would pay to see Pac-Man Jones, and I believe he did, like, a semi-pro fight, absolutely demolish the guy he was fighting. I would see him fight anybody in the world.
Yeah, it's like celebrity boxing. Here's your next idea.
There we
it's
go.
Like celebrity boxing. In the offseason, let's get a couple of these football guys in the ring.
Yeah.
Throw them some big-time cash, and let's see what happens.
Tough look for Frank Gore. He's had two professional fights now. Got knocked out the first time, but the second time, I mean, if I was to think of it, Pac-Man Jones and Frank Gore would probably be a great fight. I feel like Frank Gore would overpower him, but Frank Gore actually knocked the guy out first round, second fight. He's kind of coming into his own as a fighter right now, so it's going to be interesting to see what he does. But baseball fights never they just amuse me. I love them.
Yeah, baseball is like the classic fake hard guy where right away they're saying, right, like, hold me back. Right? They don't actually want to get to each other. And like you said, the bullpens are always great. By the time they get there, we're already like an inning into the next inning. It's like, thanks for arriving finally. This one was, as you said, it was pretty good. It was one of the better ones we've had in a while. There were actually some fists being thrown, guys getting kicked out. We'll circle back to that coming up because there's a great story about a pizza delivery with that brawl that we have to get to coming up a little bit later on.
Yeah, it's like an NBA fight, though. You know, there's a lot of pushing and shoving, not a lot going on. Speaking of baseball, first of all, shout out to my one-year alma mater, the Ole Miss Rebels, finally getting a national championship in a sport. We haven't had that in quite some time, and to do it in Omaha, I was getting a couple videos from my buddies back in Oxford. The square was absolutely insane, and it'll probably be insane up until Wednesday when they have the parade. Also, the Giants only won 1 out of 3 against the Cincinnati Reds. Lost on Sunday 10-3. Luke, I have a big problem. Big problem with our pitching staff. And I've said that last week, obviously, continue to say it. These guys give up too many runs. I don't know what we're doing. Luckily, the only thing I can look forward to right now with San Francisco Giants is that the All-Star break's coming up. Everybody refresh, get ready to go. Maybe we trade away a couple of these pitchers that are really, you know, grinding my gears and bring in some new young talent. But right now, the Giants, I'm not too high on them right now, Luke, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a get-right series with Cincinnati at home.
Yeah.
And they can't get it done. And the Reds, their offense hasn't been great. And then they went off for 10 runs yesterday. So not great. Let's see. The Giants now have the Tigers. That's another quote-unquote get-right series at home. So, yeah. And then even the White Sox after that. Then the Diamondbacks. So they play some pretty bad teams here. We'll see if the Giants can get going before the All-Star break.
Yeah, they better, Luke, or else my fandom might turn pretty quick. Might have to jump on the Evil Empire. I mean, I might jump around here and there. But the Giants are my team here to stay, Luke. I know we didn't address it, obviously, because we don't want to be one of those sports shows that this is all they talk about. But Kyrie Irving, apparently he wants out. Apparently the place to go from Woj as of 25 minutes ago would be the Los Angeles Lakers. However, the Brooklyn Nets do not have a trade package that the Lakers could give them that they would accept. So that's going to be interesting there. But I will point out, if Kyrie leaves, Kevin Durant's gone. Sorry about it, Brooklyn. There's no way that he stays. And Damian Lillard, who didn't play basketball last year because of injuries, who was one of the best shooters in the NBA, one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA, posted an Instagram photo, an edited photo, of Kevin Durant in a Portland Trail Blazers uniform next to him. A bunch of the guys on the Trailblazers, you know, commented on the posts and everything. Think about this, Luke Marr. Do you believe that if Kevin Durant was to join Damian Lillard in Portland, they could give the Golden State Warriors a run for their money? And I will also ask this because Draymond Green went on his podcast and said if Kyrie Irving joins the Lakers, they still won't beat the Golden State Warriors. And I do agree with that. I really do. As of right now, I don't think the chemistry can, you know, come quick enough that you're not going to beat a team like the Warriors. But if Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard team up, potentially get another piece, I wish they would have kept CJ McCollum. If that three would be absolutely crazy. But do you think the Trailblazers could have a chance with the Golden State Warriors? Personally, I don't think so, but it does intrigue me.
I would give them a chance. I would think they would have two of the best, two of the three best players in the series, right? If they ever played the Warriors. I do agree with Kyrie and the Lakers. That seems like a powder keg, just ready to explode. Durant and Lillard would be interesting. That would be a fun combination. But I'll tell you what, the Blazers just drafted that Shaedon Sharpe out of Kentucky, who's a huge question mark. He's supposed to be really good. We just haven't seen him for a year. And so I guess with or without Durant, I mean, he could develop, maybe not yet, but maybe in a couple years, the next couple years, he could develop into becoming a real star there in Portland.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe Sharpe would be the next guy, that you move on from Lillard and try to build around Sharpe. But now if you bring in Durant, you know, that changes that whole logic. So we'll see what happens here. I'm not against the Kyrie Irving story, but I did see I tuned in this morning to Get Up, which is the only show I watch in the morning as I get myself ready to go. And they opened the show talking about Kyrie, and then they were talking about Gronk's retirement. And I thought, wait a minute, is this like a rerun? We had the same show last week. Everyone was talking about this is old news. What are we doing here?
When they got the C-list cast that they had this morning, I mean, you gotta recycle the old stories. What are we doing? I mean, I tuned into First Take this morning. I said, I don't recognize any of these people, I'm cutting it off.
Like, that's what happens in the summer. I'm going to be taking some time off here shortly. Yeah. That's what happens in this industry in the summer. People take time off. Francesa, the one of the GOATs, used to always take time off all summer long. So, this is considered a down year for sports. So I guess that's the case. Yeah, with Kyrie, though, you know, only four teams right now, unless you get help from the Nets, only four teams can actually afford Kyrie, and there are four teams that were just picking, like, in the top 10. So how do you think this thing plays out? Where do you think Kyrie is at the start of next NBA season?
Well, once again, I mean, if he came to the Miami Heat, I'll turn into the biggest Kyrie Irving fan there is. We don't need you, pal, we just need you for the playoffs. You can take as many mental health days as you want in Miami. The beach is very, very nice for that. Get out of, you know, cold Brooklyn. What are you doing? The city. I mean, that just smogs your brain. But, Luke, I do think, if it doesn't work out with the Nets, it's got to be the Lakers. I think that's the only landing spot that makes sense for him right now. I don't see him going to the Heat, unfortunately. If Kevin Durant wants to come down there, that'd be a great option as well. But I don't think the Nets would trade with the Heat, especially for their two marquee players. So I would say the Lakers. I also saw that the Mavericks are kind of, you know, in contention for Kyrie Irving. Wouldn't mind that. I think him and Luka could be an interesting 1-2 punch.
It would be interesting.
But the Lakers, I think I would say right now, are the team where he's bound to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, probably. I mean, what a disaster. Brooklyn, the two times Brooklyn has tried to go all in. They did that silly trade for Garnett and Pierce, and those guys were already over the hill, and that never worked out. It was a waste of time. And then now you get Kyrie and Durant, and here we are after a couple of disappointing seasons, and potentially they may both leave this summer, and if they do, Brooklyn is going to be – in big trouble because they got nothing.
Got Ben Simmons, baby. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. I know. I saw a funny video about Ben Simmons, you know, leaving Philadelphia thinking he was going somewhere else, and it ends up becoming the same situation he just left because, he's going to be the only guy there. But we'll see what happens with Brooklyn. I like to think both guys stay. I think the Nets still have leverage. I think Kyrie's kind of bluffing and trying to play hardball here. So I'd like to think both guys stay, but we know players run the league in the NBA, so I hope they stay. I like to have Brooklyn be a big part of the NBA.
I agree.
Especially if the Knicks aren't holding up their end of the bargain for New York City. You know, have somebody in that city be relevant. And I do like the idea of Kyrie and Durant playing together. But
I mean, if they were on the court for, you know, more than, 53 games in the last 3 years together, we'd be talking about one of the best 1-2 punches we've ever seen in the NBA. I mean, as far as talent goes, Luke, those two guys are at the top of their game. I mean, Kevin Durant's one of the most talented scorers. Kyrie Irving put him in that category. Also finishing the basketball, Kyrie Irving's amazing at, and his handles are incredible. So the talent is all there, and you have Ben Simmons who, you know, can set a couple screens for you and get a couple blocks. So there you go.
Yeah, if he's even out on the floor. the Nets are in an interesting spot right now. On the text line, somebody asked, Lawrence Taylor on cocaine or off cocaine? That's a determining factor for me. Well, for the sake of the exercise, I think he'd have to be whatever, you know, whatever gets him juiced up for the big fight.
Yeah, get tuned up, my friend. We want to see it.
Yeah. Give me LT on the drugs against Dick Butkus. I don't know. Somebody else. It'd be fascinating to see. We'll wrap up hour two next. Here's a college quarterback making more money than a lot of NFL quarterbacks. We'll get to that. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. And did you see this story about this quarterback going to Miami? Jaden Rashada, I assume is how you pronounce it. Multiple sources told On3 Sports that he agreed to an NIL deal with Miami and their mega booster, John Ruiz, for $9.5 million. Now, the same source said that he turned down an offer from Florida's collective for $11 million. And both offers blow out of the water. The brokered $8 million deal for five-star recruit that Tennessee got. So we got a quarterback at Tennessee getting $8 mil. We had this quarterback offered $11 mil. He chooses Miami for $9.5 million. And Warren Sharp put out this list, which is pretty good to look at. But NFL quarterbacks making less than this guy heading to Miami. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Zach Wilson, Tua, Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones all have average salaries below $9.5 million. And this guy's going to Miami for $9.5 million. Look, I don't know if Miami's going to work out on the field, but it's why I've been hyping them up this offseason, because with Mario Cristobal, he's going to get players in there. The guy could recruit at Oregon. He's going to do better at Miami, especially now with name, image, likeness. He's going to bring a lot of talent to Miami. Is it going to lead to ACC titles? I don't know. I think Cristobal still leaves a little to be desired on Saturdays. But the dude's going to haul in a lot of talent to Miami, and they're going to be interesting to watch here for the next few years. Hour three coming up next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.